Sanctuary, and also welcome to those of you that are watching on Facebook Live. It's Pastor Robert here at Crosspoint Community Church in Rialto, and I'd like to give you guys a great welcome to our service this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. This week, Steve and Debbie are traveling. They're headed out to, not only to New Mexico through Albuquerque, but they're going to Missouri. And so we pray for them that they have had a safe journey and they're having a good time on their vacation and on whatever it is they're doing out there in Missouri, having a good time. We pray for them. But we're not going to have this morning any worship music because that is our praise team. So today we're just going to go directly into the preaching. And before we do anything, we're going to pray. So let's do that first, and then we'll go into the stories that Jesus told as we continue our series on the parables of Jesus. We're going to look at one today in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, if you want to get your fingers ready to move there right after the prayer. I hope everybody's doing well. Happy 4th of July at the same time to you. I see some over here with an American flag scarf and a headband or a bandana. So, yeah, happy 4th of July. It's a blessing to live in a country that's free. Continue to pray and ask God to bless, God bless America, and pray that we are still, as our money says, we're still a nation that trusts in God. Amen. So, even more so as we talk about Independence Day, for the Christian, Independence Day is the day we recognize the truth. And as Jesus said, the truth will make you free. We are free from the bondage of sin, and we are free to live and serve our Savior. So happy 4th of July to you, all of you here. And we're going to go ahead and then say a prayer at the moment, and then we'll get right into the sermon. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you once again for the opportunity, Lord, to gather in your name and for your sake and to worship you. To thank you, Lord, for our many blessings, especially on a day like today where we're celebrating our independence as a nation and where we have received from you, Lord, abundant blessings. We ask you, Lord, to keep your hand on the United States of America. We ask you, Lord, to continue to bless her. And we pray, Lord, as we see things developing in our nation, as more and more people are not looking to you, not following you, not seeking after you, we pray, Lord, for a revival. We pray, Lord God, for a time in which you will deal with us and bring us back to yourself. And we know, Lord, that's the best place for any nation to be. And so we ask these things. We pray, Lord, for each and every one of our members here at Crosspoint Community Church. We pray for the families of Crosspoint Community Church. We pray, Lord, for friends of Crosspoint Community Church. And we pray, Lord, for the mission and the ministry here at Crosspoint Community Church in Rialto. May you be glorified and lifted up and edified. Because you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So, Father, that's our petition. That's our desire, that you would receive all the glory and you would receive all the honor, and that the kingdom would be preached, and that the good news would be proclaimed from this pulpit, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings, and we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so turn with me, and or if you want to follow on the screen, it's Luke chapter 14, starting at verse number 16. Luke 14, starting at verse 16, and we're going to read to verse 24. a parable here that Jesus taught, a story that Jesus told. Do you guys remember how and why we started this series? Jesus was asked by his disciples why he taught using parables. And he said, because it was unto us to know the secrets, depending on your translation. Another translation says, mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And that those mysteries and those secrets would be known by those who desired to know them. So in telling these parables, Jesus was telling stories of everyday common life experiences, cultural experiences, events that they were aware of so that they could tie into what the kingdom was about. And we are citizens of heaven, and we should know everything there is about His kingdom because we're going there soon. Sooner than most of us would be willing to maybe acknowledge. But if we're citizens of heaven, then it's important for us to know that how heaven is, and the, most importantly, the King of heaven, who He is, and establish a relationship with Him from this point on, because we will spend all eternity there. Amen. So let's read this, and then we'll get into it. It says, but he said to him, of course, he here is referring to Jesus. And if you'd like to stand, please do as we show honor and reverence to God's word. He said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servants, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to his servants, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Let's do this. Let's pray for the sermon. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you again for opportunity to open your word and to preach. Thank you, Lord, because we hear and as we are reading, Father, that there are many, many things that you would have to say to us and many lessons that we would need to apply to our lives because we want to be more like Jesus. We want to be a light. We want to be, Father, those disciples, Lord, that are witnesses to the world of the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you bless our time together, that it would be the Holy Spirit that is leading us and guiding us and speaking to us, and that our hearts would be open to receive whatever it is you have for us this morning. And we ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask, let's see, Michael, could you do me a favor? From behind here, could you put the screen up on top of the thing here? Or Eric, because I have to look down since the camera's over here. Amen. Thank you. I actually moved it there the other day and forgot to put it up. Thank you. That way I can see a little better. Well, this parable speaks to us this morning of God's gracious invitation in the gospel, and also of the difference and the arrogance of men and women who, when they refuse to respond to it. So I've titled it, The Invitation. And I think it's important for us to see from the very beginning that Jesus tells this story so that we would understand that the kingdom of God, at its core, the very essential basic message is that the kingdom of God is an invitation. An invitation into the presence of the Lord. An invitation to be saved. An invitation to know Him. An invitation to eternity. It's the greatest invitation you could ever receive. So, Jesus says at verse 16, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. There's another parable similar to this in Matthew. And in that particular parable, there's also an invitation, but the man is described there as a king. So I thought I'd put those two together. This man is a great man. It's a king who's making the invitation. So it's always important who's inviting you. In this particular case, it's God's gracious invitation. It's an invitation to sit at the king's table. So we're going to start off by recognizing that and letting that be the filter through which we think through the rest of the story. Amen? I like invitations. I like it when people invite me to a party. I like it when people invite me to a banquet. I got invited to a class reunion this month, toward the end of the month. And it's been so many years since I graduated that they're putting together like 10 years worth of classes. So there's going to be a lot of people I don't know, because I would only know those people that went to my high school within the 4 years that I was there, right? But I still am curious to go and to see how people are doing and how things are going, and maybe establish new relationships with old friends. So it's an invitation. And I remember at first I didn't want to go. Just thought, eh. Of course, I saw this on Facebook. And so this person who is organizing it kept asking me, Robert, are you going to come? Or Robert, are you going to come? Robert, are you going to come? And I kept saying, well, I'd like to. Let me check my schedule. And what I was doing is kind of what's going on in this story. But I want to point out from the beginning that the person that was organizing it was insistent. And I'm glad she was. Because at some point I finally said, why not? We'll see how it goes, right? Probably be running into people that, maybe they had long hair in high school and now they have none. Maybe they were beautiful and now they're not so beautiful. Maybe they were really, really athletic and now they're maybe got a big old gut. I don't know. That's be the fun of it. But what I'm trying to get into your heads is, I think it's fun to accept invitations, of course. It all matters who's inviting. So back to the story. This man is a king that's inviting many. Notice it's not just a select few. Many. This man is inviting many. To what? To not just a banquet. To a great banquet. So, he said, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And I'm so thankful that I was invited. And I'm so thankful that I accepted that invitation. You see, it's one thing to be invited, and it's one thing to know that the kingdom of God is about an invitation from the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, and to what He's inviting us. But it's a whole other thing when you respond and accept. Unfortunately, in our story here, we're going to see that there are those who were favored, initially invited, that rejected the invitation. Now, at some time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." See, a banquet is a joyous occasion. It's a happy time. At least that's the purpose, usually. There's going to be great food. Who doesn't like great food? There's going to be great music, great fellowship or company. And many are invited. And I love how Jesus backs up the invitation with the word "come." That is also one way to understand the invitation. He's asking us to come. And I'm telling you, this particular banquet lacks nothing. Everything is now ready. The only thing missing is what? You. Now that's the kind of party that's going to really be rolling. Come. I want you to sense it. I want you to feel it. Come. This is the voice of the Lord. Come. Everything's ready. So the kingdom of God, just up to this point, can be characterized as an invitation to a great banquet given by a king. The event is announced, and the presence of those chosen requested. So these first couple of verses, let's call this first stage the invitation. And I would say this, that the first step toward the gospel and the benefits of the gospel, which is the kingdom of God, the first step is an invitation to come. That is, I don't know how other way to say it, that is awesome. So many things can be said about the gospel. So many things can be said about Jesus Christ. And they're usually wrong, especially to those who reject it. This sounds to me like a good deal. Come, for everything is now ready. Not going to be ready. It is now ready. Everything is in place. So, the invites are in the mail. Come on. Everything's ready. So, the next verse tells us at 18, they all alike. I think this is actually, and we'll see in a minute, pretty sad. When we discover who all these people are. But they all alike began to make what? Excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. You know, sometimes when I want to try and diminish that I've made an excuse for something I should do, I'll say, oh no, it's not an excuse, it's a reason. Well, they could think in their minds that it's reasonable, that they have reasonable reasons to reject the invitation. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is one that you do not want to reject because it has serious consequences to your future. But they all did. They all made excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And then in verse 19, It goes on to say, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. So a yoke would be 2, because a yoke carries 2 oxen. So 10 oxen, 10 oxen, that's plural, I guess. And I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And then another at verse 20, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So when you have an invitation, when they've been sent out, or you've called people to come, then there must be the response, right? So the invitation is sent. The kingdom of God is characterized by the fact that an invitation has been sent. And then now everything is, if you will, the ball is in the other court. And this is the second stage of this process called the RSVP. Have you ever had one of those? Could you please RSVP me, Carla, to your graduation? I'd like to go. But she's going to have to send me some real fancy letter. It's going to be great. Right? I can see it already. Oh, man, we're going to have fun. So I'm just picking on her because I know that's still out in the future. But there will be a day when she's going to have to choose and send out her RSVP to her graduation. And so in this case, the RSVP, we find that Jesus in his, by nature and by proxy or default, immediately when an invitation is given, there's got to be a response or an RSVP, right? They have to respond. By the way, that's, and I always like to say, there could be a yes, or there could be a no. And depending on time constraints, there could be a maybe so. So the 3 responses in my book are yes, no, maybe so, and that's what I always like to say. On Facebook, if you do an invitation, they have this app or built into and embedded in Facebook as a way to invite people to an event, right? You guys ever use it? Here we get invited. You say yes, no, or maybe. So that's what's happening here. But in this particular case, what we run into is they had make their decision. Their decision is an excuse to not be going to the banquet, and that's one of the things that we read. Each of them refuse. Each of them reject in their own way this invitation. One of the unique things of this parable is it shows us that we have the freedom to willfully refuse the invitation. That is an option we have. We do have free will. Are you aware of that? Nobody can force you to do anything against your will, not even the Lord. But I've learned in my 40 plus years of being a Christian, it's always better to go with His ideas than my own. You suffer less. Life is better when you go God's way. Believe me, His intentions of inviting them to this banquet are good, because He's a good, good Father. But this point of the story, we have the third stage in the process called excuses. And it's not that they could not come. Let me say this. It's not that they could not come. Rather, they would not. Now, would implies the will. Not one of their excuses has any weight at all. Each person believed they had a perfectly legitimate reason or excuse for not attending. They really believe that. That's why they didn't go. They turned down the invitation because of pressing issues, personal issues, because they were busy. I mean, after all, if we consider the guy who had bought land, that's a really big real estate transaction that requires close attention when you make an investment like that, wouldn't you say? I mean, if you buy 5 yoke of oxen, that's a sizable investment also, you know, for your farming operation. I mean, and as I look at the third excuse, the man who recently got married, I mean, who can blame a newlywed for wanting to stay home? Right? I don't know much about real estate, but I heard it say that there's 3 really important things to consider in real estate. Location, location, location. So who buys land? This is where I'm saying the excuse is weak. Who buys land without looking at it? Supposedly, if he already bought it, he would have already had looked at it. It would be foolish to buy it without looking at it. So it's not really an excuse. A good one in my mind. And what farmer would buy animals without first checking them out? We go back to the verses before where their excuses are verse 19 and 18. You can see here, I got to go examine. Well, who buys anyway? I mean, Carla's going to think I'm picking on her, but Carla, you're going to be a vet. I mean, wouldn't you think that someone buys a dog or a cat that they would at least go check it out first? I mean, that's, you know. We went to go look at our lab one, this is years ago, we had a black lab, Lizzie was her name, and we got there and there was only a couple of the dogs left out of this litter, and I'm sure as these couple were left because people might have seen something in them that they didn't like, and I think we got probably the worst one, but it ended up being the dog we've loved the most in our family, right? I mean, Who buys animals without first checking them out? Or it's like, who buys a car without first test driving it? Or who wouldn't take a car out and spin it around and drive around the block? And then you buy it, right? I mean, okay, so that doesn't seem like a very good excuse. But if we're going to try to be fair here, the really good excuse, I think, is the newlyweds. I think a really good excuse. Because, I mean, after all, they just got married. It's like, seriously, I mean, this is our honeymoon, or we're newlyweds. I don't think I need to explain anymore, do I? You know, although I would argue, hey, take your bride to the banquet. Just take her. It's okay. However, this is what we see. Each one of the guests made a decision. Each one of them exercised their free will. And this is what the kingdom of God is like. God offers us this amazing gift of salvation that was purchased by His Son, Jesus Christ, that will benefit you, bless you, enrich your life, not only now, abundantly, but for all eternity. And He offers it. And yet, there are people who are indifferent, and yet there are people who reject, and yet there are people who refuse to even look at it and consider it. Now, what are some of the excuses? We can kind of break them down a little bit. Preoccupation with the things of this world is a common excuse for not accepting an invitation to follow Christ. There is no excuse for the guests to have failed then to maybe rearrange their schedules accordingly. I mean, if they only knew how big this was, they wouldn't have rejected. There could not be anything more important on your schedule, in your agenda, in your activities, and in the events of your life than going to the banquet that you've been invited to by the Lord. There's nothing that could even compare to it. You know why? Because Jesus is not only talking about an invitation to a great banquet. Jesus is talking and speaking about salvation. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about eternal things, matters of the greatest possible significance, matters of eternal consequences. That's all. Where will you spend eternity is determined by whether or not you accept the invitation to this banquet. Well, yet there are people who will say, well, I just don't have the time. Or I have other commitments. I have priorities, you know. I'm busy. I'm needed somewhere else. I've got a bigger name on the other line. You'll have to hold on. Your invitation is just not that important right now. I have things to do. So these are the excuses that the servant who went out to invite these people to the banquet got. So what did he do? Verse number 21 says that the servant came and he reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. So we see here that the host responds. How did he respond? Well, he was angry. It says there he was angry. He felt jilted, rejected. Kind of a trending term would be he got ghosted. Right? Nobody sent back the RSVP and they all refused to come. So the master of the house, the king, as we described earlier, he felt indignant, of course. So what does he do? He says, okay, I rescind or I cancel the invitation to you. And now go out to his servants, he says at verse number 21, go out to the highways and the hedges. Right? In this case, out to the streets and the lanes at the last part of verse 21. Excuse me. The last part. And to the lanes of the city and bring in who? The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And it continues in verse 22 where we were at a minute ago. And here's what we find. It says, sir, what you have commanded has been done and still there's no room. And then we see that there's an additional comment made. The master said, then go out to the highways and the hedges. I like the King James. It says, go to the highways and the byways. And I think it's important to see, compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Wow. Who is it actually Jesus talking about here when he says that all these excuses are coming from a group of people? Who are they really? They're the Jews. He's talking about the leaders of the Jewish nation who had rejected him. John 1:11 says, he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. So there is a context here. The people that rejected Jesus were the Jews themselves. His people, their Messiah, they rejected. So what the Lord does is he's actually now going to turn to the Gentile world and he's going to invite them to the kingdom of God since his own rejected him. And John 1:12, the very next verse says, but to all who did receive him, notice, if the invitation is given, then the other option you have other than rejecting it is to receive it, to accept it. And if you receive or accept the invitation, what you're doing is receiving Christ. And by receiving Christ, believing in his name, he gave you then the right to become the son of or a child of God, When you say yes to the invitation, you become children of God. That's how important this is. So Jesus practices then in this next stage of this process that we're looking at in the parable, Jesus practices what I like to call inclusion. It's a term that's used a lot today. But it's also important to realize, where are you included? In this case, you're included into the kingdom of God. And it's who? The blind, the deaf, the maimed, the poor, anyone who will say yes. No one will be rejected. All of them, everyone is invited. No matter who you are or what you've done or your socioeconomic status, your abilities, it doesn't matter. So, what Jesus does here is that he opens his house, this banquet that he's having at his house, to the least desirable and the least deserving people of the community. He invites the indigent, the helpless, the disenfranchised, the disabled, those who are sick. He expands the invitation to include outlying and remote areas. Go as far as you possibly can. Go behind the buildings, go in the alleys, down the gutters, anywhere you need to go. Go there and invite them. So the servants were then going to invite those who most likely would not be distracted by possessions, that would not be too busy with their vocation or their affections, who would not have other alliances. Those that didn't have much to offer were invited if they were willing to accept. So here's the beauty of the gospel, and here's the beauty of this parable. Anyone can come. Anyone. Yes, you. Any group can come. The only requirement is that they receive Him, Christ. No, by receiving Christ, you're acknowledging you need a Savior. You're willing to confess your sins and turn from them and follow Him. You will not be rejected if you accept the invitation. He will not turn you away. No matter, again, who you are or what you've done. And what you've not done. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the response. Faith is the action that corresponds to us. It's all we could ever do to enter into the kingdom of God is respond with a yes. Everything is ready. Just come. Come just as you are, from the old hymn. And He'll receive you. Isn't that beautiful? The Master says something really important, I think, in verse 23. Go out to the highways and the hedges. And I want you to focus, and if you have a pen and you'd like to write in your Bible so you can remember later what's important, the word compel people. Go and the highways and the byways and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. What did Jesus say? Compel these outcasts would need to be convinced. That's what compel means. Yes. They would need to be persuaded. But in this particular case, I honestly believe when we go to the gospel, it's always compelling, motivated. It is a persuasion in love. So here we see a picture of what we're supposed to do as servants. We're supposed to compel people to come to the kingdom, to convince them. That means you have to have a discussion with them. That means you have to make an effort. You have to, like Isaiah 1:18 says, let me read it to you. This is a very important word here. I think sometimes we fail to acknowledge that we have a part in sharing the gospel with other people. And it's not just a small part. We should consider the urgency of the fact that the kingdom of heaven, the door in, is going to close. Compel people to come in. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together." The word reason and compel are synonymous. It's the Lord telling us, hey, I want to reason with you. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I honestly believe today what God wants from the church, what God wants from this church, what God wants from this pastor is a new attitude and perspective, because the days are short. We should be busy doing one thing and one thing only, and that is compelling people, convincing people, persuading people, reasoning with people, and saying to them, hey, God's willing to reason with you, no matter what you've done or who you are. He wants to have a dialogue with you, a discussion with you. And it's time for those kinds of conversations. And I will push for those kinds of conversations from this pulpit. The last time you spoke to somebody and tried to reason with them about salvation, about Jesus. There's always excuses. Let's reason together. Let's get things straight. Let's clear up the air. Let's settle this. I went to the Galleria at Tyler Friday. I had been studying, yesterday. I had been studying, and I reached that point where I was like, my brain was kind of fried. So I'm going to go for a walk, because it's kind of hot outside to go for a walk. So I'm going to go walk around the mall. Just up, there's like two stories. So I got in like 13,000 steps. But as I was walking, I saw these two guys at a table right there in the middle of the mall. And all I heard was, hey, do you know Jesus? And I'm all, are you talking to me? Yeah, you're talking to me. And I said, right up to the table. And I said, do I know Jesus? Not only do I know Jesus, but I proclaim Jesus. And we ended up having an interesting conversation right there. There's younger guys. They weren't experts in theology. And I sat there, and it was like the Lord was speaking to me about this sermon, because I thought, I didn't know what was missing. And when I got that, had that experience, I realized they were trying to compel people to listen to them. They had tracts. We've had some of those tracts where you have that $1 million bill and it has a story about how to receive Christ. You know, little Bible tracts. And then as I was talking to one of them, there were two of them, the other guy kept inviting, hey, do you know Jesus? And it was amazing to me, because I witnessed these very excuses that we're seeing here in this story. Oh, no, I'm good. For someone to say I'm good to the gospel invitation is meaning they're not good. Or, oh no, I'm in a rush. Some people didn't even acknowledge them. They were nice. They were nice. Hey, do you know Jesus? I got something for you. Oh no, thank you. I ain't got no time for you. Yo no tengo tiempo para ti. That was Rick Dees back in the day. Disc jockey in Los Angeles. I don't know. Well, I'm dating myself. And I saw how they were happy to do anything to try and get someone to talk to them about the Lord. And I realized that this is true. And then there were also a couple people that would say, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you guys are doing a good job. And they felt real encouraged, and now I have two new friends. And I was walking, I went down all the way to the end of the mall and went to the second floor, and then I come back, and all of a sudden I hear this guy from the table below, he saw me walking, Pastor Bob! And I'm all walking, doo-doo-doo-doo, and I'm thinking, who's calling my name? Pastor Bob, is there another Pastor Bob around here? And it was me. Compel, persuade, convince. And I also think we should be able to reason with people. We should be able to defend our faith. Not be nasty, not be rude, but share. And the best testimony is your own life. And the grace, and the joy, and the peace that you carry with you in your everyday life. That's the greatest witness. So anyway, I think this compelling people to come in also tell us, and I think it reflects the urgent desire of the master, of this king, to have as many people come in as possible. The Lord wants as many people to come to the kingdom as possible. Verse 24, I'm almost done. For I tell you, none of these men who are invited shall taste my banquet. But see, this final part is, yes, there is inclusion, but there's inclusion based on a response of faith, a favorable acceptance to the invitation to receive the kingdom. Because there's also, on this verse, there's also exclusion. That's the warning. If you reject Christ's invitation, now put it to you like this way. If you reject and turn down the invitation, you are then rejected and turned down too. Or also. Have you ever heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink? God will respect your decision. He will not force you. He will try to convince you. He will try to reason with you. He'll try to persuade you. He'll try to woo you. He'll try to, I don't know. He'll do whatever he can do. But you ultimately have to make that decision for yourself. And then when you do, he'll respect that decision. And the consequences of those decisions fall on you. Because free will is an amazing gift if you use it correctly. And it's a terrible gift if you miss it. If you reject. So here's my summary as a pastor. Ask yourself these questions as I ask them, but make it personal, because it always is. What is the nature of my commitment to the kingdom of God? Think about that for a minute. Where are you in respect to that invitation and the kingdom of heaven? If you have heard the invitation, what are the excuses that you give to stay away from the table of the Lord, if you will? Because he's inviting us to come. You see, the Messianic banquet was a huge part of Israel's history. If you want to read more about it, it's in Isaiah 25. It's in Isaiah 25, you'll find it's a banquet invitation to come to the Messiah. But there's also an invitation to the church. And here's what's interesting to me. I've heard this preached many times to those that are sinners and have never received Christ. But it's not what John was saying in the book of Revelation. Unfortunately, he's speaking to the church who now has Christ living outside of the church doors. And Jesus is knocking on the door of our churches, asking to come in. That means that we've thrown him out. He says, Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. But the thing that I'm telling you that's amazing about this passage, it's a message to one of the churches. You mean a church can actually have Jesus outside? Yes. And they can play church and pretend they're a church and doing things for God, but it's nothing but a country club when Christ is outside. But when Christ is inside, the church is dynamic. The church is persuading and compelling and trying to bring people in by reasoning with those that don't know him. I think it's pretty amazing. There's another passage in the same book of Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And who's that? Everyone. But in this context, at the end of the book of Revelation, this is already those who are there. So blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This glorious celebration of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and the bride, the church, there will be a day where we will all be together at his wedding because we are the bride of Christ. That's what this is in reference to. My prayer that every one of you have made a decision for Christ and accepted this invitation. How do you do it? Well, it's nothing really secret. It starts with you, with what you've heard. You, in the privacy of your heart and mind, you make a decision to accept Christ. First is with him. And it's always with him. Right there in the secret part of your heart. So I'm going to pray right now. If you've never done that, I'm going to invite you to. And if you do invite him into your heart, you can tell me later. I don't mean to embarrass anyone, and I know there's a tradition of an altar call, and you come forward, but that's not necessary. That's not even really biblical. Because where the real work is taking place is when the word's being preached and what you're thinking about and the decision you make. And first, you must make it with him. And if you made a genuine decision in favor of Christ, it'll be noticed. We'll know. Because we'll see you again. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this parable, and thank you for what you've shown us. And our prayer right now is that if there's someone here today who has never received you as Savior and Lord of their lives, my prayer, Lord, is that they would say yes to the invitation. That they would come to the banquet, knowing confidently that you will receive them and never reject them. And they come, Lord, to you, understanding their need for forgiveness of their sins, as we've seen in other parables, and you are faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. And we can stand right before you. Not right, like right before you. Yeah, right before you, but we're right with you before you. Everything's all right. We have the issue settled of our debt. We come to you, Lord, asking you, Father, to commune with us, to have a relationship with us, and in that relationship to enjoy your blessings of forgiveness and your blessings, Lord, of your sovereign hand and grace and presence in our life. We thank you for that. Help us to see the urgency at this time of making the decision now, because we never know what tomorrow holds. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so now, because we don't have Steve to close the sermon, we're going to take the offering now. Okay, and so if we have these young men, thank you very much. I'm going to pray for the offering at this time. Let's keep everyone in prayer. One another in prayer. Amen. And let's keep the church in prayer as we take the offering. Father, thank you. This moment, Lord, where we give, and we give from a cheerful heart, understanding and acknowledging, Lord, that everything we have comes from you anyway, and all belongs to you. Nonetheless, you only ask for a small part, the tithe, the offerings, whatever it may be, in our heart to give beyond the tithe. We ask, Lord, that you bless the giver as they worship you in this way, as they express not only their love to you, but their confidence in you, Lord, that you will continue to make every provision for their life. But also we pray for the how this will be used, Lord, so that the needs of this ministry here at Cross Point Community Church will be met, and that we can continue to preach the gospel from this corner. Bless the giver, bless those that will distribute it, and may it all be for your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys out there watching online, you have a good rest of the day. We'll see you online on Wednesday. God bless you, and have a wonderful 4th of July. Amen.